This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones rose sharply today as investors grew more confident the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates next week. We'll have details coming up in our business segment. President Bush is expected to address the nation this week and endorse the recommendations of General David Petraeus and reduce American troops in Iraq by 30,000 by next summer. During the second day of Senate hearings, many rank-and-file Republicans told General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker they're uneasy about the lack of political progress in Iraq. Both Petraeus and Crocker acknowledged the Iraqi government remains largely dysfunctional. A somber ceremony at Ground Zero today, marking the sixth anniversary of the terrorist attacks. In all, 2,993 people died when the planes crashed into the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Help is on the way for America's ailing bridges. The Senate approved $1 billion to repair and replace bridges across the country. An estimated 78,000 spans are structurally unsound. China agreed today to prohibit the use of lead paint on toys exported to the United States. Chinese officials also pledged to step up inspections and meet U.S. standards. Turkish police on alert because of the 9/11 anniversary discovered a large bomb in a parking lot in Ankara that could have been devastating had it detonated. Thousands were evacuated after sniffer dogs detected the explosives. In Islamabad, Pakistan's Supreme Court today was asked to intervene in yesterday's deportation of former Pakistan Premier Nawaz Sharif. President Pervez Musharraf arrested Sharif as soon as he arrived in Pakistan after 8 years of exile. Sharif announced his candidacy in the up-and-coming Pakistani presidential election. In Veracruz, Mexico, radical guerrillas blew up 4 natural gas pipelines, igniting roaring fires that forced the evacuation of more than 24,000 people. It is the second attack on Mexican pipelines in as many months. Authorities warn natural gas supplies will be reduced 25% until repairs are made. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A new study shows more than twice the number of reports of debilitating side effects from drug treatment were received in 2005 than 7 years earlier. The number of deaths from pharmaceuticals almost tripled in 2005 compared with 1998. Spinach and eggs may ward off blindness. That's the conclusion of a recent study from the National Eye Institute. The two nutrients found in those foods lend protection against age-related macular degeneration. The cost of health insurance for workers and their employers increased an average of 6% this year. A survey released by the Kaiser Family Foundation said insurance costs are likely to rise again next year. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said the U.S. and other countries need to work together to fix trade imbalances. Bernanke said the U.S. has a bloated trade deficit, while China and oil-producing countries have a trade surplus. The Commerce Department reported today that the value of U.S. exports of goods and services increased almost 3% in July. Both exports and imports reached record levels, demonstrating strong global demand and higher prices. Light sweet crude oil trading at $78.23 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended up 181 points, the NASDAQ up 33, and the S&P 500 up 20 points. There's more on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
I Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 38 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you so much for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. We are, in fact, live. That's Doggy and I, and this box with all the little flashing lights on it. We are live. If you're listening on a Tuesday evening around 9 o'clock on September the 11th, you are listening to a live show. About the audio, not sure how it's going tonight because I don't hear the same information that you get, but it's something that we're addressing at this point in time. I had a long talk with the internet service provider here this afternoon, and by the way, they're golden. I don't deal directly with the phone company, of course. That's an impossible scenario. Nobody will talk to you. You can't sit down at someone's office or over a desk, and they won't dial into your equipment and monitor you while you stream up and stream down and have a VoIP conversation. They just don't have time to fool with you. So I use another internet service provider here in Tallahassee. So anyway, I was asking what we could do to improve the quality of the VoIP here. Now, the computer is very fast. It's a dual-core machine with plenty of memory, and the SL connection's fast. It's 5,000 down, and I get better than 640 up, so that's way more than adequate for VoIP. But we get some tronning and some dropouts. And what the internet service provider found out today, who is Network Tallahassee, by the way, they found out everyone in the Tallahassee area, of which I'm in that area, in the surrounding communities, everyone is connected, of course, to Tallahassee, with the exception of a very small group of people in my little neck of the county. For some reason, we are connected to Winter Park, Florida. Now, for those of you who don't know Florida, Tallahassee is extreme north, practically to the Georgia line, and Winter Park is in the Orlando-Disney World rather area. So that, not that that's a bad thing to be connected there, if the phone company, which is the evil player in this little story, if the phone company is providing enough bandwidth to get the data down there. So what's happening is the data rate is dropping out from time to time. There are moments in time where no data passes, apparently, on the upstream. Downstream is just gorgeous. It's just up traffic. And when that happens, it wreaks havoc with VoIP connections, simply because they are far more reliant on a steady data stream, as you might well imagine. Words happen in a sequence, and music happens in a sequence, so the data packets really need to arrive on time in order for that to all work out well. So they are addressing it, and they're either going to work with the phone company to switch us into Tallahassee, or find out whatever reason we're wired into Winter Park and get them to increase the bandwidth to Winter Park. But in any case, it is being addressed, and I spent a long time on the phone this afternoon with Josh, and he is a real sweetie, and he's very, very helpful, and he knows about Strictly Confidential. I don't know if Josh listens, actually. I told him about the show once, and he immediately got it when I'm going, what do I do about improving the VoIP? And he understood that. And so anyway, that was how that went today. The show site, that was an interlude, wasn't it? I'm breaking my intro. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you'll find links to all of the guests and the archives from past shows, as well as a calendar to locate a guest that you might be looking for that you've missed, and the link to the archives, the links there also to the Head On Radio Network main site, where you can find out about the other progressive programs in the network, and links to the Strictly Confidential MySpace page. Yes, there is a MySpace page. And we've added a link to Euroflash. That's EURO-FLASH.com. Euroflash is a site that our friend Alex Natikin runs, and he was our specialist on Italo Disco, who appeared a few weeks ago, who gave us permission to love disco again. Thank God for that man. We're going to be using another one of his Italo Disco tracks tonight, later in the evening, as one of our dance tracks of the night. The call-in numbers are toll-free. We have a 877, the number 4, head-on, which translates to 877-443-2366. Or with unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can save the studio a buck by using 304-658-3333. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I try to remember to check that during breaks. You know, at the end of the programs, I always mean to thank the chat room moderators and our news ninjas. The news ninjas are in constant pursuit of show content, and they are very helpful in sending along links that otherwise I would not come across to provide contact. They do that for all of the shows on the network. But when the show rolls around to the end, I'm always up against the clock, and I'm always running out of the room screaming, well, here's Cynthia Bailey, bye! And I never get a chance to do it. And it's not that I don't love you guys. I do, and I appreciate the work you do. And as for the moderators, it takes a lot of mental stamina to stay in a chat room. What? How many hours? 12, 18 hours a day? How long does it, you know, and without going completely melting down insane. So you guys, we could not do this without you, and you are appreciated. I guarantee it. I am, you know, poor Bob, he has got the ear infection, and he's not 100%, and, you know, that's what happens to old radio hosts, I guess, when you get our, you know, you get up in your years. Bob is certainly younger than me, but old things start going wrong. Last night I had one of my no sleep problems. Now, I don't have those very often, but last night was a major one. I finally lay down, I guess, around 12:30, and my eyes were like, boing, they were wide open. You know, I don't think I slept at all last night. It could be that I slept half hour or an hour, but I really don't think I did. I believe I was conscious and thinking the whole time. So finally I just gave up, and I got up, and I reformatted a hard drive with a clean Windows install to run some tests on VOIP, and I did a promo, and Doggy staring at me like, what are you doing out in the middle of the night? So anyway, I did manage to get a short nap in late in the morning, and intended to take another nap, which I didn't get to do, later in the afternoon. So I'm just not on my game tonight. So put up with me, please, if I stumble, or if you call, please don't use any big words. I probably will not know how to handle that and sound coherent with you. You know, Pam Spalding was on Michelangelo's Signorelli, his show this afternoon, and I fully intended to listen to that. Pam Spalding is the blogger who is main and primary behind the story about what's going on in Orlando with the double murder-suicide of the log closet Republicans down that way. And actually, I did log into Sirius and was listening. I heard him introduce her, but that was the point that my internet service provider called back and we needed to do the VOIP. So I didn't hear a thing she had to say about it. I wish I had. But anyway, most of her, in fact, I'm using a lot of her web content for information because she is the main player on top of this. And thank you, Pam, for doing that, because this story is unbelievably complex and difficult to tell. Slowly, day by day, it gets a little bit more coherent, but it's like a biblical epic. It spans centuries and political careers and states, and oh, it's just amazing how quickly they fall down. But before I get back into that, it is, of course, September 11th, and you know, I told you guys, like, gave away my TV because I couldn't take it anymore. So I haven't been bombarded with it all day, as I'm sure most of you have. There's no doubt the mainstream media has played it for every tier it's worth. A friend of mine sent me a a video, one of the little, you know, you can attachment type videos, what, 4 or 5 megabytes, a Budweiser commercial. Yeah, I don't know if it's running on television or not. One would assume it looked like a high-quality production type of Budweiser commercial, but it showed the Clydesdales pulling the Budweiser wagon from the farm through the valley and into the city and up to the 9/11 site, where the horses all kneeled on one knee simultaneously. It was very touching. But I thought to myself, my God, is there anybody not standing in line to make a dollar off this? It's just astounding to me. Also, I had to run to the post office this morning. I did hear some coverage on PBS. It was a senator, I didn't catch which one, talking to Petraeus, asking some very good questions, and they didn't sound like they were buying the story too well. I hope they kept the pressure up. I'm not sure how that's going. As I say, I didn't see much TV. But as for my comment on 9/11, yes, it was tragic, and many lives were affected, and loved ones were lost. But it was more than that, as we all know. There are three words to never forget about 9/11, and those three words are my pet goat. That son of a bitch sat there. The video is still on YouTube. It's in Fahrenheit 9/11. You've all seen it. He just sat there. Never forget that that was the administration who remained silent while the Republican hitmen were calling the families of the Twin Tower and airline deaths. They were calling them whiners. And I think that was the word they were using. Calling in the White House didn't say a word about that. And if they're not completely culpable, they're at least partly culpable in my frame of reference. And just wanted to share that. It's an overwhelming situation, but never forget my pet goat. Keep it in perspective, because if they could make it all about sadness and loss, they would. But with that comes some responsibility to do something about the people who are a party to this nasty little situation. Let's go. here I am with, my head. Let's talk about those nasty Republican boys having all that sex down there in Orlando. We're still assembling this information, but to give you a recap, what we know is the bodies of Republican political consultant Ralph Gonzalez, now he was 39 and the president of the Strategium Group, and his lover, David Abrami, and their, quote, friend, which there's some controversy about whether or not that was a lover's triangle, and that the friend Robert Drake was making the moves on one of them, or trying to sort of a three-way fight sort of a thing going on, or if in fact at this point it's beginning to look possibly like Drake was acting as a hitman, or it was an all staged incident. There's lots of material here talking about the Florida, the man who was quote committed suicide in a Georgia motel room in Valdosta, Georgia, following up the Tom Feeney vote rigging software prototype bit. The police lied about that. They said there were no pictures of it, and that the only injuries were he slit his wrists. That's not true. There were bruises around the neck. There was blood all over the place in the towel. They said there was a. I'll go through this later, but there is a ton of evidence that this was set up by the same people, the murder of this law enforcement officer, which of course the police quickly closed at the request of a Florida politician they will not name. I think maybe the name was Jeb Bush, but we'll never know that, at least maybe not for the next few years. But in any case, it could be a situation like that with Drake. I'm speculating. It's unclear as to actually what went on. What is clear is that all three of them were, in fact, gay men. And there is the possibility of a lover's tryst. Now, Gonzalez served, he was the president of Strategium Group. Now, he served with the Republican Party of the Florida House Campaign Division. and was the executive director of the Georgia Republican Party. And the Alabama Republican Legislative Committee was also one of his clients. And for these groups, he produced anti-gay flyers. You know, the kind of twisting religious fact. We've all seen them before. And accused various Democratic candidates of supporting gay marriage, of being gay. Now, we know this all for a fact. We also know that a Florida newspaper, Florida Today, immediately reported when the bodies were found that there were signs of a struggle, and that they printed the headline was that the lovers had a fight that sparked the three deaths. The paper, within an hour or so, scrubbed any references to the love triangle, though with no comment as to why it was scrubbed. Imagine that. Brad Blog has also shown some ties to Gonzalez and Senator Max Cleland and other name brands in the Republican gang of thieves, also to Feeney. Now, these are not just political ties. These are some intimate ties, too. You see, Drake was involved in writing the phony software for flipping the Florida Florida 2000 election, and also he's tied to a gay escort service in Virginia, and like the D.C. madam, the proximity of Virginia to Washington, D.C. would mean that their prostitution list is extensive and would contain some very prominent names, of course. By the way, the site, if you'd like to visit it, is Virginia, Norfolk. It's N-O-R-F-O-L-K, Norfolk. I can't talk. It's just not making much sense tonight. NorfolkMailEscorts.com. You can go there. That page is not bad. I looked at it. If you start clicking, I'm sure you'll find something. I didn't dive into it. But another interesting thing about this, of course, Drake was hooked up with that. And, of course, and then Feeney and the others were said to be clients, along with several other names. But an interesting thing about that is because it's located in most of the workers or the escorts, most of the male escorts are actually from the military. They are all, let's see, I have a note here in my stack of goodies. They are naval personnel. I should have known that. Gang of working men were naval personnel. So it's turning out to be a huge little story. A lot of people are involved, and we'll talk about that as we go. But first, let's talk to Susan. Susan, welcome to the show. Welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just not making a lot of sense.
I know the feeling. I do that all the time, too. That Budweiser commercial.
Yeah,
that
tell
was
me.
Aired once on 9/11. It never aired again. It is all over, however, the Internet.
I see. That's how that came along then. So yeah. It wasn't anything new.
Yeah, they put it up, Budweiser, they put it up. You'll notice there's nothing about buying any beer or anything. They just loaded up the wagon, filmed it, and then used some stock footage. And they did it real fast, and it came out real well. And they did that once. And then they took off, and they said, we're never going to do this again. This thing's gone.
That's interesting. I had never seen it before, obviously, and it was very touching.
And that's all it was.
Yeah, it was very touching. And then with the Budweiser thing, all that emotion gets hooked in with the word Budweiser, and just really, I just didn't care for that. What did you think of it?
Well, you'll notice there was no beer on the wagon. All you saw was the Clydesdales.
Well, that's true. There were no bottles of beer rolling around. It was just the red
it was
standard
just,
wagon.
Okay, admittedly, yeah, you put that image of those Clydesdales and you immediately think Budweiser, but they obviously weren't trying to sell anything because, you know, or at least not openly. I'll give them that. subliminally, sure. But
yeah.
Let's face it, Chevy went completely gaga running commercials about how they gave New York trucks. And then they made commercials about it. And nobody batted an eyelash about that. But because this thing ran once, people seem to jump on it for some reason. I don't really understand why.
Well, you know, it didn't hit me until after the horses kneeled, at the camera panned toward the back, and you could actually see the word Budweiser written on the side of the wagon. So the word does appear, but there's no beer bottles or anything. But what got to me is the awareness of, because it was an emotional video. You know, you love animals and you see them, you know, loving people back, kind of. I'm a little softy, and I just sort of got a little choked up saying that. And then, you know, and it just kind of angered me. Goodness alive.
Well, yeah.
But I guess, you know, a company has a right to do that.
Yeah, you have a right. You have to consider. Put it in its time frame. This showed on September 11th or September 12th. It aired on either September 11th or September 12th. And it never, ever, ever aired again.
Oh, I see. Well.
So, and they could have made a bundle off of that. They could have aired it and kept right on going, doing that. But they didn't.
Well, there's a certain amount of risk.
A lot more class than what Chevy did.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of risk of overplaying something like that. We have one person in the main chat who's saying that that they think it was also run once in the Super Bowl, but I don't know that.
That's possible. But I do know you don't see this thing, you know, running around on television ever. You see it on the internet, yes, because. Hey, I have a copy of it.
Mine came from a friend down the road somewhere out here in this little, you know, sort of a mailing list. You have things make the loops.
Yeah.
And
because, you know, these things get passed around because, if nothing else, your sense of history. I have a copy of the documentary that was shown, that was made by those two French photographers that were with a ladder company in New York on 9/11. And I have
really?
A copy of that. I recorded it when it was broadcast. The thing is, I'll never, ever watch it. I can't.
Yeah.
But
I remember that
my
day
own
clearly.
Sense of history makes
very
me keep
clear.
It.
Yeah. It's one of those days that you remember, like you remember exactly what you were doing when you found out, well, if you were alive, then I was, when Kennedy was assassinated, or you remember exactly where you were when Martin Luther...
Yes.
And I remember exactly where I was when that morning the space shuttle blew up and they were showing the, you know, the smoke flying in different directions from the... I remember it very clearly. Certain things, and Bob was making a good point, though. In 100 years, it'll just be like, you know, Labor Day or Memorial Day. Nobody will... Really, it'll just be a day for
considerably less.
You do, yeah. It'll be a day for iced tea and potato salad. Probably not much more.
Yeah, but you know, I just wanted to clear up that bit about the Budweiser thing because they've been using it to sell beer.
Well, thank you. That's good of you to do that. It was touching. I perhaps.
Oh yeah, I cried a lot over it.
Yeah. Well, tell me about 9/11 today in New York. Did Giuliani speak? There was some controversy about that, him running for Republican president and speaking there. Did Bush speak?
Tell you the
I
truth,
don't know.
I avoid the television when on September 11th. I don't watch television on September 11th. I can't. I honest to God can't.
Well, there was some talk about that the other evening, and...
Yeah,
I don't know how it turned out.
Yeah, that there was some talk that they were going to uninvite him. Yeah, personally, I think they should have, because
I think so.
A
too.
Lot of good firemen died because of him.
Well, that's true. There was certainly mismanagement. It seems like every time you get a high level Republican involved, people died, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
I will let you go and let you get back to your show.
Thank you, Susan, for calling.
You have a nice night, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you. I will. I bet I sleep tonight, by golly.
Yeah, I've done that myself. The brain just can't turn off for some reason.
I know. What is it about us? Insanity. Susan, thank you for calling.
You're more than welcome. Good night, honey.
Good night.
Very good. Pixie dust.
Thank you. Thank you. I need bottles of that. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. I'll send you a big bag.
Bye-bye. And as we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free 877, the number 4, head-on. I am your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Join us at Night Sounds this Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the very latest in new releases, one-hit wonders, and Erica Richards with Night Sounds Dedications. And remember, get your dedication in by emailing Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. Also, we'll have a Listener's Choice segment, so be there Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I grew up thinking you could do anything and be anything because that was the American dream. But because I'm gay, I'm denied that. Because of people's prejudices, I'm denied a civil right. Because I'm gay, I can never get married. Is that what America's about? I don't know. Well, that's not the America I was raised in.
I was just thinking about this yesterday. Love this track. Now, that's the way to wake me up, Agnes. Agnes knows exactly. Or that might have been Bob. You never know. They switch off. You never know who's got the knobs in their hands. Let's get back to this. I just want to recap on what we know at this point. This one of the men who was murdered, Gonzalez, had very close ties to Ralph Reed. Now, Ralph Reed, if you remember, was the big Christian coalition guy. And only in the Republican Party could you find relationships like this. And also very close to Tom Feeney, who was part of the whole Chinese software company Yang Enterprises for hooked up with that vote rigging scheme and selling microchips to China all about the same time the Florida election was being rigged. And Cheney, rather, Feeney has ties to the still unexplained death of the Florida state investigator in Valdosta, Georgia, which is further down the list. Well, this is so huge, it'll take us probably more than one evening to cover all this to stay abreast of it. Now, we also know that Patrick McHenry's has ties to both Gonzalez and Drake, and initially denied knowing Drake when their office was closed, but confirmed later that he did know him, but would not specify the nature of the relationship. Patrick McHenry is also affiliated with the outed former national field director of the Republican National Committee, Dan Gurley, Gurleyman, and McHenry is apparently a good friend with the former National Young Republican chairman, Glenn Murphy. Now, Glenn Murphy's story was huge, but it occurred during the period of time that I had some downtime, and I never told you about it, but we all know who the Young Republicans are, and the National Young Republican. Okay, they elected a new chairman. This is only a month or so ago. They had a new chairman. He lasted 1 month before he was busted in a gay sex scandal. Apparently, he was performing a fellatio on a straight man who was asleep, and the man, of course, woke up at his sister's house following a big party. I think they had both stayed over and slept at Glenn Murphy's sister's house, I believe is how that. So immediately he wrote a big letter to the Young National Republicans and said he was resigning because of a business opportunity. You know, he just elected. He's the biggest deal in his whole life. And McHenry is also hooked up with a fellow named Aaron Lay, who was the field coordinator for McHenry's 2004 campaign, in which he was indicted for voter fraud. Lay was listed as a resident of McHenry's home, but the paychecks were sent to an address in Tennessee. But then it got even stranger when three or four other young men also showed their addresses as being a resident in McHenry's home. And McHenry, again, there's so many names, knows the people involved in the murder. Some financial transactions. I won't go through that, but into the amount of money that the Republican consultant was making, the fellow who was killed. Actually, three ended up dead. So the thing about it is that as long as I've been following politics, not as long as some of you guys, I have never seen as much scandal as this in one that affects so many people, places, over a period of such a long time that are all hooked up. And there's also some thought that the Drake guy was going to do what Larry Flint is doing and start outing people because he is involved with the brothel in Norfolk. Now, in an additional story today, apparently Larry Flint, with one of the prostitutes in New Orleans, and Larry Flint, I believe, announced today, or the prostitute did, that she was he was an additional activity of the Vicar guy. Wasn't that his name, Vickers? So many Republicans, so much scandal, it's hard to keep track of them all. But apparently she was with him on the eve of his election. In other words, his relationships with professional escorts span in bigger directions than the D.C. madam situation. There's a lot to talk about regarding Clint Curtis, who's the investigator who was murdered. Now, in this situation, Orlando could be something very similar to it. Basically, this is not a story of follow the money so much as it is a story of follow the bodies. And but I'm going to start the actual Clint Curtis investigator story on a different night. So that we don't get too bogged down into it, because it goes into check-in times and motel receipts and the fact that the person who said that, you know, the police said there were no pictures, and then it turned out there were pictures, and the person that said that there were pictures was in fact right and turned the pictures over to, they're now published, you know, the bloody motel room. And so the police fired the person who said that there were no pictures. The person who said there were no pictures could not be questioned. And then the Valdosta police dropped the investigation immediately on a request from someone in the Florida government. And Chinese spying is involved in this. I'm just looking through. We're gonna do all this, but I don't want to get into it because the story is so complicated. One, I don't think my mind can handle even telling it all to you tonight. This is not the best night to present something that complicated, so I'm just doing the recap of what we know at this point, and I promise we'll get into that very soon. And let's see what's happening here. Oh, here it is, Flint. More Vitter claims. The prostitute saying she had an affair with Vitter has passed a lie detector test, apparently, and has had a four-month relationship with him, according to, apparently she was a regular client. She does, though, deny the baby diaper bit. There was thought that she was the baby diaper, that he liked dressing in baby diapers. I think she's denying that, and it's unclear whether Flint is paying her. Flint's offered $1 million to anyone who can show that he or she's had a sexual encounter with a member of Congress, and so it's unclear about whether Flint is paying her, but that's what's going on. Soon, in the very near future, a couple of weeks, we're switching subjects now, there's going to be a report presented at a Christian conference. The researchers are Stanton L. Jones of Wheaton College and Mark Yarhouse of Regent University, and they're both evangelical Christians. They are conducting a what they're referring to, a longitudinal study of religiosity mediated change in sexual orientation. And of course the American Psychiatric Association is saying that's not a good thing to put people through, and it can cause people harm. But I think we're going to see some different results out of these evangelicals when this hits the press. This will be coming out in about a week. They're going to be presenting their reports. You can be sure that the American Family Association, all of our usual list of suspects, will be hot on this story and about how persecuted they all are. We know that's coming, don't we? Let's see what else I have here in my little stack. Jim Wallace, you know, bless his heart, but man, just he never resonates with me. Yeah, I have talked about him before. He's sending out this huge mailing thing about calling for people to do a surge of prayer for peace, and to let your senators know that you're praying for them to end the war in Iraq. You know, I think we may be past prayer. It may be hard-hearted to me, but I think we're to the point where we need to be walking into the temple and turning over the money changers' tables. You know what? I think what affects me about seeing stuff like this is it reeks of the old "be nice." You know, be a good little homosexual and remember your place, or be a good little darky and remember your place, and be a good little housewife and remember your place, and don't make any noise. And it's just, to me, it's be a good little Christian and just pray. Hell, I don't know. I think that, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think prayer's going to help much. I mean, does anybody not get the fact how screwed we are? That if this doesn't all change soon with a major house cleaning, and the Democratic Party starts to do the right thing for a change, even, you know, if they're the, we can get the Republicans out, which looks like they can be, regardless of, you know, it's hard to say how powerful they will be after that. But if anybody doesn't get how screwed we are, as far as I'm concerned, I'm grateful I'm not, you know, a teenager, even in my 20s, or a little kid. You know, I think the planet's going to be pretty much over and out pretty soon. What do you guys think? The scientists are saying that we've melted 40% of the Arctic Sea, and that within 50 years, polar bears are going to be wiped out. Just plain gone. And by 2100, they're saying that the only place that they will be is very likely in the zoos or stuffed animal exhibits. I think, I don't know, when I get tired, I get kind of grim. I don't think I got a happy face on the future for tonight. Now, when Craig's still denying he's gay. And by the way, his family's sticking up for him, but that's not turning out to be such a good thing. You remember Craig is a shoe tapper, and I'm sure he's hooked up with the boys in my Orlando, too. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. We just haven't found the connection yet. They all seem to be like a little swarm of hornets. So anyway, his family, his son Michael Craig and his adopted daughter Shay Howell were on ABC Good Morning America to testify that their father isn't gay, and he's not a bad man. But that's not working out real well because, like, there was an arrest warrant out on his daughter their warrant, you know, had been out for a couple of years, and she had, you know, not turned herself in, and it was from allegedly breaking into a house and her estranged husband and destroying property, allegedly, I think. And the son, too, he's got restraining orders against him for beating his wife and other criminal charges, rape charges, for instance, in his past. I mean, what a fine little Republican values family that is. It's just, and so what does Senator Craig say and his wife say about having little hellion children like this? Raising children in their teens as they become adults is never an easy task. Yeah, well, you know, I've noticed some families that have had some problems with their kids, but this just seems like the whole barrel's rotten, ask me. Arrest warrants by your own national TV? That just doesn't happen every day, Mr. Republican Values Airport Shoe Tapper, who's not gay. This we know for a fact. And do I talk about Dobson? I'm not sure if I want to talk about Dobson right now. He's such a pain. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and run the dance track of the evening. It's in one of the Italo disco tracks Alex has sent in. You'll find his link on strictlyconfidentialradio.com. It's an absolutely delightful track. You remember we talked about a group called Fun Fun? Fun Fun was one of the groups that was actually an owned label name by one of the record companies in Europe. So Fun Fun could at any time consist of different singers. Now, they all sounded alike, but Fun Fun was not people. Fun Fun was a brand. And this is a track by Fun Fun that was widely played, it was even in the U.S., called Happy Station. Now, the intro is very different from the song itself. You're not going to know what's going on by the intro. Like, what is Peter playing? It doesn't. But the intro is a bit different, but it quickly kicks in to... The Fun Fun, they're delightful. They do another track that I dearly love called Color My Love that we'll run another evening, which was a different group called Fun Fun, but they were all Fun Fun, you understand. We learned these things from Alex. So let's go ahead and run Happy Station. There you have it. You know, it's hard to explain, but maybe it's not really. The good time feeling of a lot of the tracks that were so popular in the gay clubs, I think it's because people are so beat up by the world anyway that you really just don't want to deal with anything that isn't happy. You know, when you're trying to get around. Maybe that's how he got the name gay, I don't know. But our friend Alex, now he's a straight man, and he's the guy who came out and defended it. Helped us to defend this genre, and so it's like Irish Spring. It's built for a gay guy, but straight people like you too. Have you heard of Bob Jones University? Or perhaps I should first ask, have you heard of FreeCycle? Well, FreeCycle is a all over the U.S. and maybe all over the world. It's a Yahoo group. You can go to yahoo.com and click on groups and type in group search and type in FreeCycle if you're curious. But basically, FreeCycle is a service that allows anyone who's a member to offer anything they like that for free to anyone. People offer automobiles, cooking utensils, TV sets. Some work, some don't. Speakers, you know, plants, you name it. FreeCycle is huge. And there's no doubt a FreeCycle operating in your area. You subscribe to FreeCycle in your area so that you don't, you know, live in Maine and get an offer for a stove from somebody in, San Francisco. So, you get, and if it's something you're interested in, you click on it and you say that you're interested and you arrange a time to pick it up. And if you're the first person to say they want it, then you just go and get it. Also, people use FreeCycle to request things. And I've been on FreeCycle for a while. I've picked up some cool stuff here and there and put some things on that I didn't need anymore. But this one caught my eye because it's such a tragic request that this lady wants. She's not offering. You can also put wanted, what you are looking for. And what she wants is a Bob Jones HomeSat satellite and receiver. Apparently they have their own network. And she says she's looking for this because she wants to homeschool her children. And she's saying that even if you have one piece of it, she would be more than happy to take it and come get it. And that she wants any of the Bob Jones University books for children that go along with the homeschooling. You know, I guess I never really considered homeschooling as such a centralized learning system. I guess I kind of thought it was a little bit spread out and regional, and there were various courses of study. But it looks to me like These people are subscribing to a whole satellite system, and no doubt costing an arm and a leg. Here again, the religion industry, just the, my God, how the money rolls in. So, you know, and I've seen, and Misty is just, Misty is just the type of person that does not need to have her children homeschooled from Bob University. Now, Bob Jones is a notorious anti-gay. I mean, he did an interview on Larry King that would just rock your world, what he has to say about gay folks and anything else that, you know, that goes hand-in-hand with the Liberty University and all that. They're all part of the same demon. They just have different faces. You know, Misty is looking for, like, then I saw something else she posted. She's looking for a TV to, I guess, put with this home receiver. The TV's for her kids for homeschooling, so it's got to go. She must have found a receiver. She's saying a 13-inch color TV or larger. And she's also been on looking for, just recently, she's looking for, like, canning supplies. She wants to do some canning. I can't, of course, peg her as being a wealthy person or a poor person, but, you know, she's asking for, you know, canning supplies and books and a 13-inch TV. Those are not, you know, real expensive items, so you would think that maybe Misty is, you know, just the sort of person that really should be looking elsewhere to educate her children. It really kind of broke my heart. Every time I see it, it's like I'm a free cycle stalker. Every time I free cycle, I always look to see if it's from Misty. I want to know what she's looking for. Her email address, by the way, is not misty@yahoo.com. It's Misty with a bunch of numbers. I'm not going to give you her email address. In fact, I probably get kicked out of free cycle for even talking about this. But the thing is, it looks like they're centralizing this stuff. So instead of the local school system, you know, in your general area, your school board, your locally elected school board, and you have a curriculum that's in your, you know, based upon your community standards, if you will. Rather than that, they're looking to centralize this in a Christian university, and you know what they're teaching them. I am horrified with this. I am just horrified with this. What a mess. So that's something that caught my eye this week. Misty trying to find a Bob Jones HomeSat satellite receiver. I bet that is not an inexpensive item. We have a caller on the line. We'll take that right after the top of the hour break. And this is Peter Godbold, and I'm glad you're with me tonight. I want to break free.
This is a Quality News Network. President Bush is expected to address the nation this week and endorse the recommendations of General David Petraeus by reducing American troops in Iraq by 30,000. The Associated Press reports the president is preparing a speech announcing the reduction will take place by next summer. During the second day of Senate hearings, many rank-and-file Republicans told General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker they're uneasy about the lack of political progress in Iraq. Both Petraeus and Crocker acknowledge the Iraqi government remains largely dysfunctional. Despite yesterday's optimistic report to Congress by General Petraeus, the latest AP Ipsos poll says the majority of Americans hold a more pessimistic view. 59% of those surveyed say history will judge the Iraq war a failure. A Senate panel has voted to back a pay raise for military personnel in an amount even greater than the president recommended. The panel, however, trimmed spending for some weapons programs. A somber ceremony at Ground Zero marked today the sixth anniversary of the terrorist attacks. In all, 2,993 people died when planes crashed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. In Ankara, Turkish police on alert because of the 9/11 anniversary discovered a large bomb in a parking lot that could have been devastating had it detonated. Thousands were evacuated after sniffer dogs detected the explosives. The Israeli Air Force attacked Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip today, and the government is meeting to decide what other actions to take against the Palestinian militants. That following a Hamas rocket attack early this morning on an Israeli military base, which wounded at least 70 soldiers while they slept. In Islamabad, Pakistan's Supreme Court today was asked to intervene in yesterday's deportation of former Pakistani Premier Nawaz Sharif. President Pervez Musharraf arrested Sharif as soon as he arrived in Pakistan after 8 years of exile. Sharif announced his candidacy in the upcoming Pakistani presidential election. In Veracruz, Mexico, suspected radical guerrillas blew up 4 natural gas pipelines, igniting roaring fires that forced the evacuation of more than 24,000 people. It's the second attack on Mexican pipelines in as many months. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil, with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
A new study shows that dangerous side effects and deaths from commonly used medicines nearly tripled in 1998 to 2005. The authors of the report say the sharp increase in injury and death shows the current FDA oversight system is not adequately protecting patients. The diabetes pill Actos appears to lower patients' chances of death, heart attack, or stroke, but does increase the risk of non-fatal heart failure, as did the popular drug Avendia. Now some diabetes experts say older drugs, such as metformin, should be the first-choice treatments. The older drugs are also often 10 times cheaper than the newer pills. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said the U.S. and other countries need to work together to fix trade imbalances. OPEC's decision to boost its oil output by 500,000 barrels a day did little to change analysts' predictions for a tightening market. Investors expect a government report to show tight supplies, even factoring in the increase. Experts say investors are also hanging on to the belief that the Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will cut interest rates at next week's central bank meeting. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $78.23 a barrel. Gold is at $721.10 an ounce. That's up $8.90. The Dow closed up 180 points at 13,307. And there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And we're back. The telephone number is toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on, or 877-443-2366. Or you can use a toll-free or unlimited long-distance plan at 304-658-3333. Mail comes into Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And with no delays, we are welcoming Jim to the show. Welcome, Jim.
Good evening, Peter.
Good evening to you. I saved your note from last night, and I found Netflix had the movie called Downfall, and I put it on my little list. But apparently they don't have the one called Where the Sky Meets the Sea, isn't that the name of it? And I was so disappointed because that's something, but I Googled it, and that's the one about Cape Cod and the Lithuanian flag, right?
Fire Island? Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah, I've got to find somewhere because that just sounds like a treasure.
It is. Listen, I just want to assure you that Miss Ellen's portieres are still hanging at Tara, and no one is using them to go to Atlanta to get Captain Butler out of the jail.
Oh, Jim, I'm so relieved to hear that because I so thought you might be wearing drapes.
I clap you.
honey, I didn't know. I'm about down the cardboard boxes and magnolias myself.
No, I think you'd probably find me running around like Charlotte in Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte with my friend Agnes Moorhead. Oh God!
I was tempted to watch that again the other day. I didn't. I saw it on the Flix. You know, I have the addiction, so I almost put it on the list for some reason. I didn't, but it's been years since I have seen that.
Well, it's a wonderful movie still, I think, really. You know, Today's been a very introspective day, being 9/11 and everything. And I just wanted to mention and share with you among some of the heroes of 9/11 6 years ago today, in addition to Father Judd, the gay priest who was killed when one of the towers fell. There was also a gay and lesbian group in New York City, and it was headed by a Parisian restaurateur who's made New York his adopted home. But these people, years before 9/11, bought an old fireboat that they were going to scrap, and they refurbished it completely. And it was one of the main sources of water they had on 9/11. Because all the water mains weren't working.
I'll be damned.
That fireboat was used to put out some of the fires, help extinguish some of the fires immediately after the tower fell.
Yeah.
Battery Park.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was a, our friend Lottie in the chat room recommended a movie, we talk about movies a lot, called The Saint of 9/11, by the way, and remarkable priest, a gay man, and everyone knew he was gay, and a huge friend to the fire department in New York City, and he was killed in the 9/11 on September the 11th.
Right.
And there's a wonderful movie about that man. You know, I thought, oh, it's a priest movie, it's a documentary, it can't be good. It's about, you know, but I've got to tell you, if you get a chance to see The Saint of 9/11, you really should. It will really cheer you to see someone who really has faith in action, all the things he did. Amazing.
Well, absolutely.
Man.
I'll have to see that. And anyway, like I said, it's been quite a day. I was glued to the TV watching a lot of stuff. You know, you couldn't help but see some of the things that were happening. You remember what you were doing on that day. So, Peter, that's about all. I hope you're going to sleep better tonight than you did last night. That's rough.
I do too.
Particularly.
I hate that. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Please.
It's hard to explain. You get older, you get funnier about stuff like that. It's hard to say. Every once in a while it happens.
Well, listen, I just wanted to share that story about the fireboat and the contribution that the organization made to New York when New York was in trouble. And on that note, I will...
Well, listen, before you go, did you see the Budweiser commercial we were talking about earlier with the
No, I
sales?
Haven't.
I'll forward it to you after the show because it's an email attachment, so I'll just send it along. It's actually very touching in a way. It really shook me up, and then there's the Budweiser thing. I didn't know what to think about it at that point, but we've heard several things, but I just wondered if you'd seen it, what you thought about it. I'll be sure and send it along after the show.
Okay.
And if anyone else wants it, just drop me an email to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I'll send you a copy. Go ahead.
I sent you an email, and you might want to share it on the show if you deem it appropriate.
Okay. I didn't check mail during the last break, but I will during the next break, and I'll look for it.
Okay. And I think it basically explains. It is self-explanatory, really.
Okay. Okay, has it got any pictures of you with the drapes?
listen, I'll tell
you. I would so love to see you with that big old curtain rod. coming out of each shoulder. It would make you have huge, Mommy Dearest shoulders, you know.
Look, you got the house right. The house you got right. But as far as Miss Ellen's portiers, they're still in their proper place and nothing disturbs them. And Mammy hasn't gotten any dress patterns out of the attic. By the way, let me ask you a question. Who is this person who has gone into childhood regression you were talking about?
The childhood regression? The woman?
Like a baby?
Oh. That was, what was his name, Vicar? He was the one who was, he was named in the D.C. Madam scandal, and he lives in New Orleans, and he's a senator from New Orleans, and the talk was, it was pretty much common knowledge, or is stated fairly much in the blogosphere in New Orleans, that he was into dressing up in a baby diaper. You know?
Lord.
I know, you know, buddy. I just...
Speaking of movies, here's another one. This is a John Waters special. And I'm not going to endorse this. I'm just going to say it's there. Okay? If you wish to remain visually literate, you'll have to include John Waters, okay? But it's called It's a Dirty Shame. And there's a policeman in that movie who has a fetish about that. And here's this grown man dressed up in these baby diapers, and he's sitting in this woman's living room. He just sneaks in there, and he's playing with a rattle, and he's singing, "Tell me a story, tell me a story."
Jesus. It's just horrifying to even contemplate. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's just Chris Isaac and Patty Hearst. Uh-huh. He's in most of his films. They're real good friends.
Uh-huh.
But like I say, it's John Waters is just, you know, he's basically, he's really mainstream now. I mean, he's on Broadway.
Well, you know, I have seen him, like, you'll see him pop up in like, Google News from time to time. Apparently, he is still doing his thing.
Oh, listen, he's gone big time. And he has gone from an underground director to, he like to say he's on the Great White Way now with, I think it's Hairspray, the one that John Travolta.
Is he involved in that? He's involved with doing
that? There were two movies, actually. The first one was with Divine, and then now the one was the one with John Travolta. But Hairspray's made it onto the boards of the Great White Way, so it's just amazing what a little boy with a film camera from Baltimore can do. He got kicked out of NYU for smoking pot, but still managed to make it.
What a hoot. Did you see the video back in the day of him doing Walk Like a Man in that red drag dress? Do you remember the video of Walk Like a Man? John Waters.
Oh, Lord. He's just, you know, he is truly a walking iconoclast. I mean, you name it, he's going to smash it. But I mean,
I'll send it along. You got to see it.
Okay, well, listen, like I say, it's a dirty shame. What a movie.
I wrote it down.
And like I say, I'm not going to endorse that movie because people would probably just want to crucify me, but I've seen it, and parts of it are real funny. And all of his movies are made in Baltimore.
Amazing. Now, that's, you wouldn't expect that right off the top of the heap, would you? Baltimore,
supposed to be. Maryland, yeah. He's the Andy Warhol of Baltimore.
Very interesting.
On that note, I best leave you to your program, and you have a good evening, and sleep well.
Okay, thank you, Jeb. Thank you for calling. It's good to talk to you.
Good night, sir.
Yes, sir. And that was our dear friend, Jeb, who lives in the mansion by the sea in an unnamed county on the East Coast and apparently does not wear drapes. What a hoot. It's fun to talk to somebody like Jeb that's gotten old and twisted like me. Oh, I don't know. It's hard to.